By any measurement, the military strategy during the Old Testament battle at Jericho sounds far-fetched. Who in their right mind would agree to march around the outskirts of the city making loud noises, expecting to conquer the enemy? Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll will celebrate God's creativity on devising a combat plan that no one could execute other than himself. For any of us embroiled in a personal battle, this passage reminds us that God can and will accomplish the impossible. We're looking at Joshua chapter 6. Chuck titled today's message, Watching Those Walls Tumble Down.
I want to comment the Joshua battle over Jericho through the back door, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And then we'll stop off at the prophet Isaiah chapter 55. Then we'll look at the battle at Jericho, Joshua 6. First is 2 Corinthians 10. And please remember two statements. With God, nothing is impossible. And second, because of God, impressing isn't important. With God, nothing is impossible. Because of God, impressing isn't important. How long it takes us to learn and believe those two truths. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Paul goes on to say in verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not according to the flesh. They're not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. I can hardly read that without smiling. God loves to destroy massive fortresses, which I'm calling our enemy, our opponent. Whatever that thing is or that situation is, God loves to destroy fortresses, but he doesn't do it by way of the flesh through weapons that are familiar to us in the flesh. Sometimes God's directions are absolutely absurd in the eyes of the world. Absolutely absurd. Why is that true? Isaiah chapter 55, if you will turn there on the way back, Isaiah 55, verse 8 and verse 9. 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. He goes further, as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. God lives in another realm. His game plan is of another sphere. He operates according to principles that are not familiar to this world. They are higher than this world, and they are beyond flesh. The best battles God wins are won when we find ourselves absolutely overwhelmed, intimidated, outmanned, and outmuscled. When God fights and wins a battle through us, he does it apart from the odds and with no concern for appearance. Now Joshua, chapter 6. They marched, they blasted the trumpets, and they screamed at the top of their voice, and the walls came tumbling down flat. Where did such a strategy come from? The three verses that end chapter 5 are really the secret of the battle that's won in chapter 6. Chapter 5, verse 13. It came about when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you a friend or foe? Are you for us or are you an adversary? He had never seen him before. The man came out of nowhere. I believe he is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He asked, are you friend or foe? The answer comes, verse 14, no. Rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. Joshua got the message. He fell on his face to the earth. He bowed down and said, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" And what the Lord says to him is absolutely amazing. He says, "I'm going to break the backs of the Canaanites. I'm going to drop their walls before your eyes, and I'm going to do it in a way that will make them laugh in the process." Chapter 6. In case you wonder if it was a formidable opponent, Joshua is facing a Jericho that was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out. No one came in. The gates were locked. The wall was thick and tall. It was an impossible opponent. Look at verse 2. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors." Verse 3. "March around the city, all the men of war, circling the city once. Do that for 6 days. The priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpet. It shall be when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat." Verse 12, "Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark went before, continually blew the trumpet. The armed men went before them, the rear guard. They did it the 2nd day," verse 14, "3rd day, and finally they came," verse 16, "the 7th time when the priests blew the trumpet, Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city shall be under the ban.'" So they come to the 7th day. By the way, he tells them, verse 19, "All the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They'll go into the treasury." So this is for the Lord's treasury. Whatever you take from the city will be the Lord's. But this 7th day will be different. Now look at verse 20. This is so good. This is so ridiculous. It is funny. Verse 20. "The people shouted, the priest blew the trumpet. It came about when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted, and with a great shout, the wall fell down flat." Those people on the inside are scared, spitless. And the Hebrews come in mass and finish them off. Every living thing. As the wedge is driven into the central region of Canaan, which becomes a massive victory for the Hebrews, as the land is now weakened and the Canaanites are divided in their power, and it's only a matter of time before they conquer the whole land. I want to review for you the specific things that caused the wall to fall. 1. A clear understanding of the plan of God. 6 times, 7th time, 7 times, trumpet blast, scream, walls fall down. Clear understanding of the plan of God. Before you can carry out precisely what it is the Lord would have you do, you must know His plan. The whole culture around you will tell you that the main thing is to get back at your enemy, and you finally, alone with God, discover the plan is to forgive your enemy. To do the most unnatural thing that 2 angry people would do with one another. But that's His plan. You will have the counsel of others saying, "Don't be ridiculous. This is no time for you to give up territory. This is not a time to forgive. This is a time to fight back." And I could give another half dozen examples, but that's just one. They understood exactly the plan of God. 2nd, there was complete cooperation with the strategy. Nobody suggested another plan or tried to do something else. It was simple, it was clear, it was obeyed. There's a third, not mentioned here, but mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Will you hold your place here and look at one verse in Hebrews 11, verse 30. In this long hall of fame of God's people from the Old Testament, look at verse 30. This is the third reason the strategy worked. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Childlike faith. They simply believed that this is what they should do, and as a result, God honored their faith. They believed him. I honestly think Joshua expected the wall to fall flat, and he wasn't at all surprised. He had worked through the struggle of all that in those three verses that tell us of what happened prior to the beginning of the strategy. Let me give you three, what I believe will be three timeless principles that will help you do it God's way. If you've never heard teaching like this before, I hope that you won't resist it because it's unusual. I was a young man well underway in life before this kind of information ever came to my attention. It has delivered me from more ugly fights and conflicts than anything else because these principles work. Here's the first. The battle you face is not difficult because of size or circumstances. It's difficult because it seems impossible. It feels impossible. The battle you face is not difficult because of the odds, the size, the circumstances, the details. It's difficult for you because it feels so impossible. I don't deny the odds, and nor should you. Now, others at this point will counsel you in another way. They will encourage you to doubt anything that impossible. You need to listen to us. I plead for you today to listen to the Lord. Listen to what he's saying to you. And I'm not getting any more specific than that, lest I miss an area that would be of major concern to you. That's for you. You make that bridge. The battle you face is not difficult because of size or circumstances. Difficult because it feels so impossible. Here's the second. The plan you're to follow is not a struggle because it's complicated or confusing. It's a struggle because it seems so strange. It's a strange way to win a war. To wait, to pray, to trust, to refuse to get my reputation all involved in this. Others won't understand, by the way. You're not going to get help from many people in this. You'll have other folks that'll just come at you with all kinds of strategies that this worked for them or this worked for their friend, and they'll want to hold you back. They don't want you to follow a strategy like this. This is the day of defending my rights. You got that? And how foolish is the person who decides, really, this is the day for the Lord to win this battle. It's beyond, I can't out-muscle him and I can't outsmart him. Here's a third. The victory you need is not accomplished because of strength or smarts. It's accomplished because it is so of God. It's not accomplished because of strengths or smarts. It's accomplished because it is so of God. And I need to warn you, others won't get it. I mean, if you happen to be close to someone through this battle and the battle is won God's way, you're going to get the credit, even though you didn't fight the battle. Let me show you an example of that. Last verse of the chapter. I never saw this before, day before yesterday, as often as I've been in this section of Scripture. Look at the last verse, verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. Huh. That's the way it always is. Who won the battle? The Lord won the battle. Who dropped the wall? The Lord dropped the wall. Joshua? He just walked and screamed. And the wall fell down as he got out of the way. But his fame spread through all the land. Why? Oh, man, Joshua, there's nobody quite like him. Whew. Is he a commander or what? Well, I vote or what? That's my vote. He had no strength to move one stone. He had gotten directions, and he decided, I'm going to lay aside all of my tendency to manipulate and maneuver and rearrange this plan and somehow come out looking like the hero. I'm going to walk around that wall, as silly as that may look to the people of Jericho, and I'm going to shout after the seventh trumpet, at the seven blasts of the trumpet, and I'm going to watch the wall fall down. Why in the world did his fame spread? Because people are like that. It's remarkable, isn't it? Happens all the time. They'll make famous a person who simply points out God's way of doing things, and then we do them God's way, and God never gets famous. I've lived just long enough to realize that when things like this are accomplished, no man gets the credit or should get it. It belongs to the Lord. God did the impossible. God's servant got the fame. You're connecting with this? I have a great book that I'm reading again. Just finished last evening, almost finished it. It's called Leading Without Power. I love the title, by Max Dupree. And in it, he talks about that very thing, leading without power. We're strong, and there's every temptation for us to get stronger. We're fairly smart, fairly well educated. There's every temptation to rely on our smarts. We're impressionable, and there's every temptation for us to be impressed with this person or that person. My plea today is that we would become impressed with the Lord. This is not a building built by a man. This is not a building built by a group of people. This is a building that has been erected for the glory of God. Not any of us in leadership can explain how it could have happened the way it happened. Is that scary or what? It's supposed to be scary. If we could explain it, we did it. It is a remarkable set of events that we are caught up in a movement of God's plan that is for His glory and in His time, period. Give no person the credit for it. Give God the glory for it. 3 years ago, we didn't even know each other. And chances are good, if we had known each other then as well as we know each other now, we wouldn't have hung out with each other for these last 3 years. We've all got flesh. We've all got areas of weakness. We've all got things about us that are ugly and despicable and depraved, discouraging, demoralizing. And God picks up people like us and does unusual, in fact, impossible things through these unusual ways. Why? To shift our faith from the horizontal to the vertical. That's the message. To shift our faith from the horizontal to the vertical. He loves it when we say, I don't know. I can't explain it. I just know that this is so of God. And I don't do anything, consciously don't do anything, that's going to mess it up. You know what happens when God uses the unusual to accomplish the impossible? When our faith shifts from the horizontal to the vertical, he becomes our all in all. He becomes our all in all. And it's a little bit easier the next time for us to go the next step, trusting him for the next impossibility. And in the process, we rest in him. That's all I know to tell you. In fact, I've told you more than I know. Just my privilege just to pass along information that we all need. I want us to bow our heads, please. I'd like you to just close your eyes for a few moments. See that battle out there in front of you? See that challenge, whatever you want to call it, that opponent, that enemy, that struggle? Pretty intimidating. You can't fight it in the flesh. It's got to be the Lord's battle. All you've got is a sling and a stone, but unless that stone finds its mark, Goliath will never drop. Walls will never fall flat. You may want to have a quiet place to sit and talk with some folks about this. I understand that. You may simply need to come to faith. That may be where God has brought you today. You may know the Lord, but need somebody with an arm around you to help you know you're not alone as you're doing your walk around the wall. Do that today, won't you? Now, Father, thank you for telling us things that we needed to hear, especially competent, capable, strong, strong-minded, even fairly intelligent people like us. You've reminded us in a number of different ways today that you take pleasure in taking an impossible situation and working through a impossible person and changing things. Begin today. Prepare us, our Father, for the win, which may be some time away, but give us the courage to fight it your way, not in the flesh. We trust you for the outcome, whatever that may mean, however long it may take. By faith, we trust you. In the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Everybody said, amen.
With his closing prayer, Chuck Swindoll concludes a message based on Joshua chapter 6, titled, Watching Those Walls Tumble Down. As a result of reliving the epic battle at Jericho, we're praying that men and women all over the world are infused with confidence that our struggles belong to the Lord. Now, in case you missed any portion of today's program or any part of this current series, you can find it again online at insightworld.org. And remember, you can also subscribe to receive the daily podcast so you can listen throughout the day at your convenience. In fact, one of the simplest ways to stay current with Chuck's teaching is to download the mobile app. All the instructions are at insight.org/app. Now, if it's a daily devotional you're looking for, let me point you to the book Chuck has written called Good Morning, Lord, Can We Talk? Filled with daily insights from Chuck, this is perfectly suited for your quiet times during the new year. And you'll find all the details about purchasing a copy by going to insight.org/morning. This daily program and all the related resources are made possible in part through the faithful gifts of our monthly companions. As we kick off another year, we're making a concerted effort to add more members to the team, and we'd love to have you join us. A monthly companion is someone who shares our vision to make disciples of Jesus Christ and wants to partner with us. You set the amount of your monthly gift, and we'll take care of the rest. To become a monthly companion right now, please connect with us by phone or the internet. If you're listening in the United States, the number to call is 1-800-772-8888. Again, that's 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Take it from Chuck Swindoll. There's nothing quite like the beauty of the great frontier.
Wide open skies, pristine glaciers with various shades of blue and turquoise mingled within them, towering pine trees, and all manner of wildlife. I'll tell you, Alaska is truly a masterpiece of God's creation.
I've been to a lot of places and seen a lot of things, but honestly, nothing compares to the beauty in Alaska. God is awesome.
Please plan to come with us on Insight for Living Ministries' 40th anniversary cruise to Alaska. It will be held June 29 through July 6, 2019.
When I'm in Alaska, I feel like I'm in an amazing painting created by God.
Let yourself get lost in the majestic beauty. Spend quality time with those you love. Allow God to refresh your soul as you reflect on His Word and His goodness in your life.
To learn more, go to insight.org/events or call this number 1-888-447-0444. The tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. I'm Dave Spiker. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll delivers a sobering message about the consequences of sin. Tune in right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Watching Those Walls Tumble Down, was copyrighted in 2001, 2002, and 2018. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.